June the 14th, 2020. This is going to be a teaching. It's called The Flesh Versus the Spirit. Flesh versus the Spirit. You know, a lot of us go a lot of years living in the flesh before we ever know about anything to do with the Spirit. And even after being in the Word of Faith for many, 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 many years, sometimes you still think, Lord, am I still not getting that? So hopefully the things I'm going to share with you today will help you see maybe some areas that you can come up higher with the Lord. Because there's not two camps. Contrary to popular opinion, contrary to the church that we know of, everything is a mixture, and that's why there's no power in the church. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if faith is not in that, is not going on, then the needs are not being met. Answers to prayer are not coming. No power is showing forth because we have compromised. The church, as I know it, has always been compromised. I've never been in a church that wasn't compromised, that they didn't have a mixture of the world and a mixture of the Word of God. It's sad but true. And I know we're all in different areas of our minds being renewed. Many of us diligently do this, but most don't do much of any of it. I just have to say that. They're waiting to hear what the preacher has to say on Sunday, but that's good. But the thing is, if they never do anything during the week, it isn't going to work that way. It isn't going to. This is a lifestyle. It's not a concert. It's not a ball game. It's not an event. It is something that we live, eat, sleep, breathe. This gospel is alive. The only religion in the world, you could say, if you want to name it that, that has a living Savior. That lives in us, walks with us, talks with us, constantly interjecting into us, showing us the better way, the shepherd that's leading us. And I think about all the many years that I was in church, I never really started to learn anything until I got under pastors that taught the Word. The screaming and the jumping and the shouting gave goosebumps, but it didn't do anything to mature me. Not until I started getting into the Word of God and I began to see, when I first came into the Word of Faith, I was so in love with the Word of God, I just read it and I had conditions in my body that just disappeared. Why? His word was sent. His word healed me. We forget that when we're always looking for some kind of means or a method. Why this is happening and why that's happening. It must be this I'm doing. It must be that I'm doing. When no, when you're conformed to the world, it's under curse. Think about that. The world, I'm talking about this temporal world, is still under the curse. But it's in through Christ Jesus that we are redeemed from the curse of the law. How are we going to know about that? Romans 12, 1 and 2. It talks about being transformed. Well, I'll just read it to you. Being transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can know God's will. How are you going to know what you need to do if you don't know the will of God about it? It says in 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. To me, that means you lay aside everything you think you have learned, you have whatever. You're laying yourself down. Your old life is laid down as a sacrifice. And your old life is all natural. It's laid down as a sacrifice. Then it says, don't be conformed to this world. How are we conformed to this world? By its narrative. There's many people today, well, many people that have gone on the Trump train. Others have gotten on the BLM train or whatever train that the devil's bringing through the station now. They've gotten to that narrative. Even Christians have sided in with that. But it says, don't be conformed to this world and what it's spouting. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you have a problem today, there where you need to look. Your mind. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there it is right there. There's no problem believing the Lord to heal you if you know in the Word He says, by His stripes you are already healed. And that's what renewing of the mind is. It's God is showing us His will for us. And His will becomes stronger and stronger, and we begin to let go of the ways of the flesh. There's no mixture. There's no in-between. There isn't. Even though most walk there. But most don't see any power either. None. Okay, now, let's go to Galatians. This is chapter 4. Verse 22. I have a little subtitle here. It says, the children of promise. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he, the free woman, was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai, an Arabian answer to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. That natural covenant. Bondage. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren, thou bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. In other words, the one with the husband is God's covenant. The other is a counterfeit based on works. And now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Look around you. You see it today. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So what's he saying to us here? Put off that old covenant of the flesh of trying to do your own natural things to get your answers, to bring results in your life. It's not going to happen. I didn't read it, but he says in, I believe it's chapter 6, where God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow to the flesh, then you're going to have many along with you. But the one that has the few children, are the ones that walk in the Spirit. What good is having many children if they're just thorns in the flesh? They're just things that just are not good. They're not sanctioned by God. A man's way, or a man plans his ways, but God directs his steps. See, a man has a choice. He can either have his own way, go his own way, do his own thing, or he can let God direct his steps. So he's saying, rejoice those that have few children. That means few works of the flesh, because it's going to come back and bite you somewhere. You don't want to be bit. That's what the works of the flesh do. Jesus said, your traditions have nullified the Word of God. When you nullify the Word, you nullify the power too. Understand? Many people dying today. Many people going in wrong directions and things, and you want to help them so much, but it's just, the things of this world have become so, or the world's become, it's always been there, it's just that we're seeing it now, how polluted it really is. You know? But learning to walk in the Spirit and not letting the pressure of that. See, there's a big pressure. That's how the deep state works. They use their false flag events. They use their narrative, the Mockingbird media. They use it to pressure you into believing a certain thing and going a certain way. Everybody's getting on this train. No, I'm on the Trump train, not on their train. We're on God's train. God raised up Donald Trump for this day and hour to drain the swamp. So we cannot let anything get in our minds that's going to pull us off and cause us to not have full power in our life. To me, that's the greatest achievement as a Christian, is to have the power to stand against the things that come against you and be victorious every time. When we learn to do it in the Spirit, we'll be victorious every time. If we do it in the flesh, if we react in the flesh, we're going to see the works of the flesh, which are minute at its best. That's why I said, you know, bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. Our fleshly means and ways and works, they don't get us anywhere, do they? Okay, we're going to look at a few scriptures here. Genesis 12:10. We're going to look in just a little bit of Abraham's life. You know, he struggled. He and Sarah struggled. 25 years they struggled. All right, Genesis 12:10. Now we know that God called Abraham from the Ur, the Chaldees. He came and God said, take off walking, and when you get there, I'll show you where it is. Well, he got there and things started to get a little heated. So Genesis 12, verse 10 says, and there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt. Lord told him to stay on his land. In other words, what is that saying to us today? What is our land? What God's word says is true about us, that you're well, that you're whole, that you're financed, provided for. You have the wisdom for handling any situation you need to handle. You have wisdom for any situation that you might face. This is our land. Not a land without answers, but a land with answers and solution. Not a problem solved. All right, he got off his land. All right, now look at 13:1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, into the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the Lord of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. All right, let's see, I put here, okay, just read those few. Okay, now turn with me to Genesis 15. After these things, this is verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Okay, now turn over to chapter 16. Now, about 10 years passed, from what I understand. It says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. We get into trouble when we get off our land, don't we? And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. All this blame the Lord for it. Couldn't possibly be us. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her handmaid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years on the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my handmaid into thy bosom. When she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. When Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence cometh thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to thy mistress, submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. He will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man. Sounds like Antifa, doesn't it? And every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. She called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, though God seest me, for he said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. So, we've got a mess on our hands when we go against God's plan and we step out and try to do our plan. We end up with an Ishmael who is a wild man and his hand is against every man. What is that saying to us? It is anti-God. It fights against the true thing, God's way. This is what we just read in Galatians 4. There's two covenants, but one's not going to be participate with the other. Is it God's fault that they chose to do that? No. God didn't strike him dead and take him off the scene, did he? No, he let him coexist. Because he said, you know, whatever you sow, that and only will you reap. God's not mocked. There's a law in place. It's called sowing and reaping. You either go God's way or you go the way of the flesh. You have two choices. Okay, Abram's plan worked against God's plan. Ever wonder why there's no power in the church today? I know a lot of people are upset, and I know we had a word from the Lord about don't fret about it because I'm in it. He's cleaning house. And it's begun in the church first. Why? Because in the kingdom age, God's plan will be his kingdom come, his will be done in earth, not as it is in heaven, not Ishmael, Isaac. Okay. All right, 1 Kings 18:21. I'll just read it here. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Who's Baal? Satan, of course, or you could say this Antichrist system that the church has adopted, that it's from God. Babylon. The Babylonian system. Man's ways and means. Have heard of the Ways and Means Committee? Mm-hmm. There you go. It's just a mixture. All right. Oh, God has raised up... Well, this is just what I've heard. Oh, God has raised up these doctors and nurses to help us. What a slap in the face of our Savior that took a beating so that we might be healed. Was that enough? Evidently not. We had to add to what God set up. Hath God said? God says I'm healed. Well, I have inside information. I know things that he didn't tell you about. You see the temptation? You see how subtle it is? Genesis 17. Do we trust or do we not trust? And when Abram was 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "For me, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in thy in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee." It leads all the way up to the lineage of Jesus. "And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. I will be their God." And God said unto Abraham, "Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. And this is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child you shall circumcise. You shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. It shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. So he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant." And God said unto Abraham, "As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yeah, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." And Abram fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" And Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." And God said, "Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." All right. Here God is trying to talk to him about his promise, what he wants. And all Abram can think about, his mind is still giving him such problems. There's just no way that a 99-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman can have a baby. God must mean Ishmael. And here's what God said. As for Ishmael, I've heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and he will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he begat. I'll make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. God clearly did not plan to have a mixture of any kind in his plan, even though Abram was double-minded. I'm telling you today that the church has not fully embraced God's will. They are still halting between two opinions. They say that trust God, but their actions say otherwise. Why? Fear. If you don't trust, you're fearing. Okay. Let me get just a second. Chapter 18. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, 3 men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth." And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? The Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. God had to visit Abraham to finally get him in position and Sarah to receive his will. They learned how their own plans were unproductive and thwarted God's will for their lives. Okay, now let's go over to Romans chapter 4. Aren't you glad that God does not record our failures in his records? He only records our victories, the Faith Hall of Fame. He doesn't say anything about the 25 years that Abraham struggled in Romans chapter 4. Just his victory. I'm so glad. The Lord knows we're on a road and we're learning and we're growing every day, and he doesn't hold it against us. He just lets us stew a little bit, and then he'll come back again and encourage us just like he did Abraham. Every so often, Abraham would flub up and God would come back and reinstate the word to him. Reinstate the covenant. All right, verse 14. Well, let's do 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law. Now think about the law. The law was, Hebrews says, it was just ordinances, washings of cups and platters and the sacrifices of animals. All a bunch of duties. Duties. But God, that wasn't God's original plan. He let them do that because it was so tedious. He wanted them to come to the end of their selves so when the Messiah came, they would embrace him. And the father of circumcision, them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of the faith that our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. Okay, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. Do you see it? Galatians 4. And the promise made of non-effect. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, we do our stuff and we feel ashamed or we feel guilty or we feel, you know what I'm saying? It's not about that. This is about forgiveness of sins. When Jesus would say to somebody, rise up and walk, a lot of times he'd say, your sins be forgiven you. See, the guilt was removed, the shame was removed, so they could receive. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I made thee the father of many nations before him whom he believed. Even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. He hadn't changed since Genesis 1. Light be, light was. Who against hope, whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. But you don't see here his 25-year struggle. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet dead in Sarah's womb. Don't be sad today if it's taking you a long time to get it. The point is, you get it. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. He finally got out of that struggle and got into thanking God and receiving God's message and believing it. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. But it goes on to say, now it's not written for his sake alone, but it is imputed to him But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad? By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we don't have to work at it, struggle with it. He just wants us to be at peace and at rest and believe him. The kingdom of God is if a man casts seed in the ground. He goes to bed, he gets up, seed grows, he doesn't know how. But he just rests and he believes. And then when the harvest is ready, he puts in the sickle. That's the kingdom of God. Aren't you glad that God overlooks our failures and records our victories? When are we going to realize as the body of Christ that God is not going to go into a league with the devil to get his plan executed? He's not going to do it. He was in no hurry. He would have given Abraham and Sarah the baby when they were much younger. But they didn't understand and they didn't get it. So what did he do? He just added years. He kept adding until they got it. Because Sarai, she lived nearly 40 years later. I think it was like 37 years till Isaac was considered grown. And then Abraham went on to get married again and have bukus of kids. So we don't need to be down on ourselves if it's taken a while. So, how do we take care of things when we're under attack? Flesh versus the spirit. Y'all know this, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. All right, let's go there. The Lord knows when we need refreshers. He keeps coming back. Every time he come back to Abraham, the two or three times he did, it was always reestablishing his covenant. Not the one he had chosen, but the one he'd been speaking to him for all those years. Came right back there. Our weapons aren't carnal. This is what carnal is. It means pertaining to the flesh. Don't you go down the list whenever the devil's attacking you and he says, well, it's because you ate this. It's because you did this. It's because of blah, 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 blah. It's like Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah. Isn't that the way the devil is? Wah, 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 wah. You just garbage. Anything to pull you off of your spiritual weapon, because he knows the God's spiritual weapons will blow him out of the water. Shut him down and shut him up. So it's just a constant wah, 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 wah. So you will, well, I'll try this over here. Oh, there, you know, there's this new deal on TV, these infomercials, you know. Come on, this is how he works. Then you spend the money and you go get it and it don't work any better than if you drank, ate, swallowed a sugar pill. It's a placebo to try to satisfy you for a little while, and then all of a sudden you find yourself back with the wah, 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 wah. Our weapons aren't carnal. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So when wah, 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 wah comes, that's the time to cast it down. And you know what? If you've got a stronghold built up, so what? It will bring the stronghold down. Jeremiah 26, I think. I don't know if I wrote that down. Let me look here. I may have on the other page. Well, it talks about that God's word is like a hammer that breaks in pieces the rock of resistance. See, the devil's trying to build a mountain in your life. That's why Jesus said, speak to the mountain. Okay, They're mighty through God to the pulling down a stronghold. I looked up those words. Mighty means powerful, possible, and capable. Strong means fortified or holding. God will not occupy with Satan. You must make a choice. James clearly brings this to light. This is James chapter 1. Verse 2. James shows us how to get on top of the situation before the situation gets on top of you. It says here, my brethren, verse 2, 1, 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You know how against the grain it goes when you're in pain to go, oh! You want to go, ah! You want to have a meltdown. But it tells you, count it all joy. Oh, ah, 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 not, ah, no. Knowing this, it says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. In other words, don't let it cause you to have a meltdown. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberty, and upbraid not, it shall be given him. In other words, instead of falling to pieces, you're asking on the inside, okay, Lord, what's up here? I know you got a strategy. What is it? But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Just like Elijah said, why halt ye between two opinions? If you're going to serve Baal, serve Baal. That's the world system. Mm-hmm. Or if you're going to serve God, serve God. Just quit bouncing back and forth. The more double-minded you are, the longer the delay will be. The kingdoms of this world may have wisdom that we can use, but we must consult the Lord about visiting them. God has no part with the Baal system. That's why it rankles me when I hear somebody talking about, I'm so glad God raised up doctors and nurses. No, actually, he raised up his son, the sacrificial lamb that took the stripes on his back. That's who he raised up. It's because of your weakness of faith that God had to send somebody in the natural to help you because you couldn't do it on your own because you didn't believe him. Now, that's the truth of the matter, like it or not. I try to be merciful to these people. I try not to say much about it because I know they've been trained that way in church. Oh, you better not tell nobody not to go to the doctor. You're liable to have a lawsuit. Isn't it a sorry state of affairs? Okay. Matthew 6. It's all through the Word of God. Sometimes we just need to be renewed in the things of God, on the ways of God. You have a choice today. All right, this is Matthew 6. We're going to start with verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? You know, it would be, I'm making myself get into a habit that whenever I experience something I don't like, I'll just say, Lord, you care for me, so I cast this onto you. And I thank you for taking care of it because you're the one that takes care of me. I don't even take care of myself. I'm not even my own anymore. You just get your mind off of you trying to take care of this, taking on that burden, and you're saying, Lord, I trust you. You've never let me down. You're faithful. Behold the fowls of the air, for they know they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they. I just remembered something that you told me, Jackie, that was about there was the deal that used to go around the cans of Coke, the little rings, the little plastic rings that the little birds, she had some little birds, that they pulled those things apart and built their nest with that. You know, it's just like God takes care of the birds. Provided for the little, these little birds to build their little nest. You know, I'm just thinking, look how God cares for the birds. How much more does he care for you that walks in his image and is made in his likeness? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? What is all the worrying and the fretting and the being scared and all this garbage? What has it done? What good has it done except maybe aid you? Cause you to miss out on life. I'm so thankful that I finally decided to put my sackcloth off and decide I'm going to enjoy my life. In fact, my song that I sing all the time, God has turned my mourning into dancing for me. He has put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness to the end that I may sing praise to him and not be silent. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. You've turned my mourning into dancing. This is what training's all about. Learning, that's what he said to me this week. Learning to walk like you feel the best and your attitude is the best regardless of the circumstances. And why? You know, the president did a speech yesterday. I didn't listen to it. I heard some parts about it to West Point. Our brightest and our, you know, youngest soldiers. Those soldiers are trained. They're trained to face the enemy under all kinds of obstacles. And they're not moved. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. How can you, to me, this is the ultimate seeking of God, is casting the care on the Lord and just leaning back and letting him take care of everything. Resting. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. Why? Your anxiety and your fear and your reactions is not blocking the blessings. Do you know that in the kingdom of God, which we are in, regardless if it's manifest on the earth quite yet, we are in. The kingdom of God's inside of us. And the blessings flow freely, and there are no hindrances. What hinders? That mind, that wah, that is what hinders. Nothing can keep you from the love of God. Read it. All the things. Nothing can keep you from it. You know, everything, good thing he has. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You got to guard that mind when the devil comes, especially today's world, and seeing the things we're seeing and hearing the things we're hearing. He wants to get us down and discouraged and afraid and all of that kind of stuff. And the Lord's saying, I got this. I got this. He who sits in the heavens laughs. He's laughing at what the devil's doing. Are you? You can't serve two. You have to make a choice. Satan is very subtle, and he can be persuasive because he gets your feelings and emotions involved. Like Urkel. Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. Remember this. Pain comes through your thoughts. You think, but no, it's God says your body is healed and made whole, but your thoughts are experiencing pain. Here's where the battle rages. You're in no harm unless Satan wins. You know, he knows how you're made, and he knows how you work, because you work just like God. All right. Faith does not walk by pain, emotions, or feelings, not by sight. Faith walks by what God's Word already says about the situation. When you're walking by the Word of God, it will show you what is flesh and what is spirit. This is Hebrews 4:12. It takes maturity to begin to see what's flesh and what's spirit. See those two covenants? Flesh and spirit, flesh and spirit. This is our warfare, guys. All right. Let's just Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. He had a good confession before Pontius Pilate. He didn't open his mouth. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The battle is in the soul. What is the soul? It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. When we hang with the Word of God, we will see victory. When we are double-minded, we will see defeat. All right, Galatians 5. We're getting all through the Bible. It's reinforced. This is 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And it goes on to list them. I'm not going to read those. But verse 22 says, the end of verse 21 says, those that do this shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All these works of the flesh. Which witchcraft right here is pharmacia. Go look it up. Pharmakia. All right. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Let's not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envy one another. What's God saying here to us? We have a choice, flesh or spirit. We can divide between soul and spirit. Do you know what scripture that is? Which one?
Hebrews 4:12.
Okay, 4:12. All right. Let's look at that right quick. This is the place that the Lord wants us to be. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is it of the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So, we can learn by disciplining ourselves what is flesh and what is spirit. That's where we win, or that's where we lose. Okay, walk in the Spirit and you stay in peace. The walk of the flesh is chaotic. All right, let peace make the call today and from every day hereafter. This is Colossians 3:15. Peace makes the call. Many years ago, the Lord gave me a teaching on peace is like an umpire. It makes the call like an umpire in a ball game. Safe. 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, into which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom,
See, we've got to let the Word of God be in us richly with all wisdom at all times if we're going to maintain the peace. It's going to make the call. Satan comes to argue with you. You know he is the God of the left. He wants to argue you out of what God has already said in his Word is yours. All his promises are already yes and amen. It's not that we got to hold on to the promises that God will do something. It's the fact that he's already done it and we believe him. We believe he's already done it. Okay? Okay. How did Abraham finally become fully persuaded? He began to give thanks and praise to God that it was already done. What does praise do? It affirms covenant. I believe you, Lord. I believe you over the things that are coming against me in my mind. The feelings that I'm feeling. He finally got in agreement with God's plan and stopped trying to implement his own means into it. Our peace is established. The battle is over. You won already. James encourages us to resist the argument. James 4:7 talks about submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Right here. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Your heart's there is your mind, not this. Wow, stop messing around in the enemy's camp for your answers. Here's the scripture I was talking about, Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? What's the rock? Those strongholds, mountains in your life. You're complete in him as the cross, at the cross he said, it is finished. It's already finished. He did not do just a little thing that day. He finished it. The battle is over. The victory's already won. God has a perfect plan for man from the very beginning. The problem was that Satan caused mankind to doubt God's plan. Here's what Paul attained to, what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today. Acts 28:3-5, I won't go there, but it's talking about when the viper came out of the heat and attached himself to his hand, and he shook it off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. Paul had a revelation, didn't he? He had a choice that day. It's not just Paul. We also have to deal with the snakes in our own situations, just like Paul had a choice, so do we. Everybody thinks, yeah, we remember the snake, but they're not really thinking that when the devil latches onto me, it's the same thing. We can believe God's word or we can believe Satan's narrative. Just remember, he is a liar, and Jesus said he was the father of lies and there was no truth in him. So when he comes with his lies, you can count it, take it to the bank. It's not the truth. We have peace. Jesus is our peace, and that peace bypasses all understanding. It all depends on your view. Okay, a couple more scriptures. Philippians 4. But I encourage you today, when things start coming, that's when you start, thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me, or whatever little song the Lord could give you. It starts getting your mind, oh yeah, God's word, he's faithful. He said this in his word. Instead of sitting there, putting up with that. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice how often? Always. 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, this is saying the same thing, James. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. If you need wisdom, ask of God. Same thing. The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What does peace do? It quells the fear. When peace arrives, fear goes out the window. How you do that? You have to focus on God has already said in his word that he's taking care of this. Why should I be taking care of this? Why should I be in fear? Why should I get all rattled about this? It's just a matter of discipline. It's just a matter of making a choice here. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and he's telling you another key here, whatsoever things are honest, Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, be any praise, think on these things. If you're focusing on how this is feeling or how this is looking, you're going to start going down a road you don't want to go down. It's like you take the bait. It's like a fish with the lure. He sees that shiny thing in the water, he grabs on it, and before you know it, the fish takes off with the... That's the way the devil is. He throws out his bait to see if he's got anybody that'll play. Play his games. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul wasn't asking them to do something that he hadn't been walk every day. Then he said in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What are you looking to for your strength? Best not be the enemy. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Satan's MO is fear, so he can recognize, so you can recognize when you're under attack. If fear is attached to it, you know who it is. Do not let fear make the call for you, but peace. Do you see the trap? Fear paralyzes the victim. Peace causes you to shake the snake off and go on your merry, victorious way. So make a decision today that there will be no more killing, stealing, and destroying in your life, but only life and that more abundantly. It's only an attitude change away. It's just merely making a decision. Psalms 30. Here's my song. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me, or thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. When are we supposed to give thanks? I just read it in Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Used to sing it as a round. No more dread, dread is dead. Say that with me. No more dread, dread is dead. And the Lord wants you to know you are in no harm today. You're in no harm. Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. All right, we're going to go to 2 Kings. Chapter 4. Well, I got a lot to share today, so I'm not going to read this whole story, but it's about the widow that took care of Elijah. Or was it Elisha? Just a minute. It's Elisha, the Shunammite. Yeah, when he'd come to town, she had a little room built on the roof and had a cot in it, a table, a candle. But because of her kindness, he gave her something. Said, what would you like? What can I do for you? And his servant said, well, her husband's old. She has no child. So he blessed her with a little boy. And at 12, the little boy got sick and died. And so Elisha ends up raising him from the dead. But the point of the whole story is, when she was faced with that situation, they'd ask her, why are you going to the priest? Is it the new moon? It's not the new moon. It's not a celebration. She said, all is well. When Gehazi came up and asked, is it well with you, the child? Is it well with your husband? She said, all is well. Her attitude determined her altitude. She took up a live son. She carried in a dead one and carried out a live one. Okay. Satan is defeated, and he is all about shipwrecking your faith. We've been given the power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, see? If we drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt us, Mark. He says when you take the gospel, when you go about doing the master's business, if you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. You'll cast out demons. If you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. He knows that you're made in God's image and likeness. He knows that you have the power to tear up his playhouse. This is why he sends his false flags to con you out of your inheritance, just like he did with Adam. Don't let him have any of it. Stick with the word of God, for it is your mighty weapon. You're no longer a victim or a slave. You're no longer sick trying to get well. You're no longer poor trying to get rich. God already says you are there, for you are his heir. Guard it and don't let the thief have any of it. That's a decision that we have to make today. You have to make today. Hope that encourages you to fight a good warfare this week. Okay.